And so I'm going to encourage you this morning to go ahead and turn to the Gospel of John, John chapter 18. And we just want to look at a few verses this morning and be reminded of the sacrifice of Christ, the work that He accomplished on our behalf, to give all glory and honor to Him this morning. And I do want to say something. I appreciate the thought of saying good things to me or about me. It's a little awkward at the same time, if I'm being honest. I don't want to be the center of attention, don't desire to be the center of attention, don't need to be the center of attention. If you serve Jesus, that's all that matters. You serve Jesus and you be faithful to Christ, that's really all that matters. And if you love me, just love me. And if I love you, which I do, I'll love you. And that's how we just go about this whole relationship in this church. But I do, I appreciate you all. You all, not just by your words, but in so many other ways, have shown me over and over and over again that you love me. And I don't doubt that. I don't doubt your support for me. And I pray that you know the same is true of how I feel about this body of believers here at Faith Baptist Church. But we do want to honor Christ as we honor His word this morning. You know, we thank the Tobiases for their update, and it's an encouragement. But this is the apex of our service. This is really what we're here for. It is good that we sing together and we fellowship with one another. It's good that we have our missionaries that come and give updates. But it truly is the Word of God that we want to give all attention to. We want to give honor, especially to these passages before us here this morning, as we are so reminded of the things that Christ endured for your sake, the innocent one, the one who was not guilty, the one that Paul said, he who knew no sin became sin for us. And here's the great exchange, so that you might become the righteousness of God in him. I could never get over that. We were the sinners, and Christ became sin. He was the righteous one, but yet he clothed us with his righteousness. What a great exchange that we are so unworthy of. And we look in the pages of scriptures and we are reminded over and over and over again of the life and of the suffering and of the death and of the burial and of the resurrection, of the ascension of Christ Jesus, and the promise of his returning again. And let me tell you this, church, that story never, ever gets old. I never grow weary of hearing of Jesus. So bear with me this morning as we look into his precious word. If you turn with me, John chapter 18, we'll begin reading in verse 28, and we'll go to the end of the chapter. I don't know, we won't cover all these verses this morning, but we'll go ahead and read to the end of the chapter. Verse 28, then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, that is, the Pharisees and the scribes and the Jewish leaders, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring you against this man? They answered and said to him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell of thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? This own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou king then? Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, "I find in him no fault at all." I don't think Pilate really understood the words that he had just declared there concerning Jesus. "But you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore I release unto you the king of the Jews?" Then cried they all again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Now we have to remember that all of this was done under the cover of darkness. This was an illegal trial, so-called, before the Sanhedrin, before they brought him to Caiaphas, before they brought him to Annas. Here these religious leaders, again, so-called, were cowards. They knew they didn't have the evidence to convict Jesus of doing anything wrong at all. There was not one accusation that they could make against the Savior that it would have been true. For Jesus truly was and is the perfect Lamb of God. Jesus is the sinless one. He is the one and the only one without spot or wrinkle. Jesus never thought a bad thought. He never uttered one false word. He never committed any sinful acts. And all that he had ever said was true. So then why did they bring him to trial? Jesus exposed them for who they truly were. These religious believers, or these religious leaders, I should say, their sins had been revealed by the spotless Lamb of God. They might have been able to hide their sin and their hypocrisy from the world, but not from Jesus. Jesus told his disciples in John 15, verses 18 through 25, he says, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." And listen to what Jesus said. "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin." Not meaning that they didn't sin, but would be covered, hidden in a way. He says, "If I had not come and spoken to them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak or no covering for their sin. He that hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no other man did, they had not had sin, but now they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." Here, Caiaphas and Annas, they wanted Jesus dead because he was a threat. And they didn't want Jesus to interrupt their corrupt system of extortion. They were afraid that they would lose their positions of power, the power that they thought that they had over people. But above all, they hated Jesus because he exposed them for who they truly were. And this is true of all the world. Jesus exposes the world for the sinners that they are. And here, but for those who believe, when your sin was exposed, Jesus, he covered it. And here the world continues to hate Jesus. The world continues to hate true followers of Christ. How come? Because their sins are exposed by those who truly live like Christ. You know, last week as we left off at the end of that sermon, we saw right after Peter denied Jesus three times, in that moment, Jesus looks over at Peter. It would have been crushing. Peter, at that moment, failed the one that he loved the most. Peter, the one who said he would never deny Jesus. Peter, the one who said, "I would die before I would ever deny you," felt the weight of his sin and of his shame as Jesus looked over at him. But we left off with such great hope at the end of the sermon last week, as we see that Jesus, as he died on that cross, his blood covered all the sin and the shame of even Peter. And here John records for us here this trial with Annas that the other Gospels do not record for us. John, though, we see that he did not record for us the trial or the judgment rendered before Caiaphas. The other gospel writers kind of fill in some of these gaps that we don't see here in the Gospel of John. And I just want to cover a few of these things here this morning, and then we'll close. So we see in Mark chapter 14 that the high priest asked Jesus, "Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" Matthew says the high priest put this oath upon Jesus, saying, "I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." And here Jesus said, "I am," or "thou hast said," in Matthew chapter 26. In Luke 22, there were some other things that were said to Jesus. Jesus telling the high priest, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I also ask, you will not answer me, nor let me go." And Jesus says this, "Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter, you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven." And at that moment, at that word, the high priest rent his clothes and said, "What further evidence do we need?" They had brought in all of these false witnesses against Jesus, and their testimonies just didn't line up. And so there was no accusation that they made against Jesus that stuck. But when Jesus spoke the truth, the high priest was so incensed that he tore his clothes and he rendered the death penalty upon Jesus. They condemned him guilty of death. And then they began to spit on him. They spit on his face. They covered his face, and then they would hit him, and they would say unto him, "Prophesy unto us, if thou be the Christ, who's the one that hit you? Who's the one that smote you?" And if you remember, up to this point, all the way up to the garden, no one laid a hand upon Jesus. But by divine permission, this band of guards there in the garden bound him, brought him to Annas. And if you remember, as he spoke to the high priest, and that guard smote Jesus across the face, only by divine permission. And here, this is just the beginning of Jesus' suffering for us. Beaten, spat upon, mocked, falsely accused, prepared to die. And so here they led him to Caiaphas, to the hall of judgment. And here, again, they rendered him guilty, falsely accused Jesus of blasphemy. And I find it interesting here as Pilate is speaking with Jesus. And we're going to close with these two thoughts here this morning. After all of this, they brought him to Pilate, and they wanted him dead. And these Jewish leaders, these Pharisees and these scribes, they brought him to Pilate. They had already rendered him guilty and worthy of death. And here, because of the Romans not allowing the Jews to follow through on the death penalty, that was only allotted to the Romans. The Jews didn't have the right under Roman authority to carry out the death sentence. They brought him before Pilate, and they delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate just wanted these accusations to be brought before him. And they didn't bring any accusations to Pilate. They just said, "Would we not bring a guilty man? We wouldn't bring an innocent man before you." All they wanted, they were just hungry for death. And then Pilate, speaking with Jesus, he comes, just real quickly, look there in verse 38. After speaking with Jesus, he says, "I find in him no fault at all." Again, when we're reminded of the sacrifices of the Old Testament, that foreshadowing, that picture of the spotless Lamb of God who is to come to take away the sin of the world, the high priest would examine that animal and render it clean or unclean. They would render it a viable sacrifice or not. Pilate's not a high priest. Pilate was a Gentile, Roman. And here he looks at Jesus. He surveys the Savior and he says, I find no fault in him at all. He truly was the spotless Lamb of God. But notice, these religious leaders, though, they have Jesus and they have Barabbas. They have the spotless Lamb of God and they have a thief and a robber. And what do they determine in their mind? Let us have Barabbas. Crucify Jesus. Pilate says, I look at him, I find no fault at all. He is worthy to be a sacrifice. Pilate's not thinking that, but you find no fault in Jesus. And now these Jewish leaders are saying, crucify him. And all of this is in the divine, sovereign, redemptive plan of God to bring about the plan of redemption, to bring about his purpose, to save a people unto himself for his glory. And church, it is good and it is right that we look at the perfect Lamb of God and we give him all glory and all honor this morning. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the sweet time that we've had here together. Lord, we thank you for this body of believers who are just faithful to give to the work of this ministry and to the work of the ministry around the globe. Oh, Father, we've just seen a beautiful display of the hands and feet of Jesus through the Tobiases. And Lord, the great work that has just been faithfully carried on. And Lord, as the Tobiases have just kind of multiplied themselves over and over and over again. And Father, through this one faithful family, you have many faithful servants that are continuing on this work of the ministry. Oh, Father, I pray that you help us here to kind of duplicate that same ministry mindset here at Faith, to train up disciples, to equip believers for the work of the ministry, so that, Father, we'd be faithful to multiply ourselves here in this community for the glory and the praise of your holy name. Oh, Father, we thank you. May your name be praised. In Jesus' name, amen.